Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. I'd like to welcome tonight Nick F. from Tennessee, a recovered compulsive overeater. Welcome to our meeting, Nick.
Hi there, family. My name is Nick F., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. I'm going to have you just go ahead and say a prayer with me, if you would. God, our high power, please help us to set aside everything we think we know about a speaker and a share, and help us set aside what we think we know about each other, what we think we know about you, and what we think we know about this good big book that you've provided for us, God. Please help us set it all aside for an open mind and a brand new experience with you and all these things. Thy will, not ours, be done. And so it is, so it is. I'm going to do something a little different that I usually don't do when I get to share. I don't know if it's because somebody in the room might be struggling with this particular thing, or if I'm about to go through the steps again in Overeaters Anonymous, kind of sided with my nicotine addiction that I'm giving up and releasing to this God that has provided this power for me. And I'm going to go ahead and ask you to put your seatbelts on, or maybe you want to kick off your shoes, because maybe we're going somewhere and I'm going to go ahead and go with or without you. So I'm going to come to you out of the big book, the chapter Into Action, and I'm going to just beg you not to try this if you haven't gone through the first four steps. But it says, this is on page 72, it says, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which when completed will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapters. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fail. And I read this last sentence. It says, we think the reason is that they never completed the house cleaning. So I am a 250 pounder. And if I had to name this anything, my high power God gave me this, said living my life one meal at a time, one step at a time, one principle at a time. The fifth step principle is integrity. And for me, it looked like growing up, I heard somebody say integrity means how do I show up when nobody's looking? How do I show up when nobody's looking? You see, I was real good because I'm also a recovered alcoholic, 6 years clean and sober. This is the book that did it for me, you know? And sometimes I say I don't often read this in the meeting, because you got to read this for yourself. And I did pray, and I may do a little cussing. I'm going to try to, Brene Brown says she pray and she cuss. And if you don't want praying and you don't want cussing, you might should have got somebody else to speak. So my one sponsor said, Nick, you may be the only big book somebody might ever read. And in my preaching days, back a long time ago, somebody told me that I was the only Bible that they ever read. Well, I'm gonna be honest with you, I kind of read this a little bit more now than I do my Bible, just because all the Bible in the world and all the scriptures in the world, and no matter how many times I got dipped down in the water, I got up and I ate and I got up and I took a pill and I got up and I took a little drink. And oh, come on and go with me now. It just didn't do me any good. I was praying a drunk prayer. I was praying a prayer full on food, and that's drunk to me just as well. So now I can draw a sober breath, and I can draw a recovered breath today. And so what I read about the fifth step on integrity, how do I get to show up? I don't know about you, but I experienced going to some newcomer meetings way back before I was over 400 plus pounds. I went to this one newcomer meeting, and this lady, she was had to be over 300 pounds, had curly red hair, and she had a cane. And that day, she taught me exactly what I didn't want to do and who I didn't want to be. She stood up on that cane in her grotesque obesity, and she said, "I've been abstinent for 25 years." And me and my newcomer self, I said, "I don't know what the hell that means or what the hell you got, but baby, I don't want it." And it taught me that I don't want to talk about a big book, and I don't want to talk about being recovered, and I'm still morbidly and grotesquely obese, because this thing in this book, it's got power, and power is about a personality change, and power, what's on the inside, it should come out on the inside. Yes, I've got a spiritual malady. However, once the spiritual is taken care of, the physical and the mental is worked out as well. I'm gonna go ahead and show my pictures, y'all. Let me see. Oh Lord, who is that that was helping me out in the first part? Pat, thank you. And Jess, thank you for asking me to be here.
Down
I'm
at
gonna
the
go ahead.
bottom. Yeah, down.
Okay.
The green arrow. There you go.
All right, let's see. Like I said, hold on. I'm gonna try to talk through some of them.
Okay.
But excuse me now, because this one here is my fuck you face. I didn't give a shit about me, and I didn't care about you, and I had already lost custody of my two kids. Oh, I sure wish it could get bigger, but that's all right. If you look up under my eyes, you can see exactly what was in my heart. Absolutely deep demoralization. I just was in so much pain, and I've got two children that I didn't care. I'd rather eat than take care of my children. You see, I'm gonna go on to another picture. Oh, I don't know how to go on to another picture. I was sharing that I before I had this man.
Oh, Nick, you muted yourself somehow.
Oh, there you go.
There you
Okay.
go.
All right. That's me and my auntie. My auntie let me live with her after I got kicked out of all them facilities, because y'all, they kept messing with my food. And I didn't have no steps. And so I threw a lamp at a young lady, and I was the biggest and baddest thing in the room. And I threw a lamp at a young lady, and they called the sheriff's department. And at a new another facility, my government name is Monique. And I said, "My name is Mo Nique, MF is what I said. And you ain't gonna do this, and this." And they said, "Ma'am, we will put all you and your things outside if you do something else tonight." I got kicked out about seven different facilities. That's me and my children. Y'all, these pictures and this smile is an abstinent smile. I had just began to be abstinent. I was not recovered yet as I went back through the big book. I really did go through these steps. That's my top weight there.
Wow.
That's my first time I had had a pedicure in about 4 years. I'm gonna just be honest with you. I had gotten outside there. These are, oh, that's when you could really, people could tell anyway, but that's, I want to show you these two. I had just began drinking here in later in life, and I had shaved all my hair off in a CVS. I don't know where you are. You might or might not have a CVS. And I
No.
proceeded to dye my hair in the sink of that gas of the sink of that pharmacy there. And it just was getting worse and worse. And this is another picture I'd like to share. I had to drag myself to the hospital because my baby was having an asthma attack. Nothing inside of me wanted to take him to the hospital. I was in so much pain and I was in so much denial, but somehow, even then, God got me to the hospital to get that baby to the hospital. And then I'm gonna just share these. These are my children. I've had custody back of them for about 2 years, and we was going traveling. And, you know, they've got their own personalities. One is going to the Marines now, and one's traveling and going boxing. And I don't struggle with the food no more, but these jokers show sometimes give me a run for my money. Oh, God, okay. I guess I'll get it. Let me share one more. And then here's that. That's a more current, up-to-date. And people ask me about flab and if I'm going to have surgery and loose skin, and I have none of that. I'll let you put me, counsel that, or however you want to do that. Okay, there. So, you know, I want to share, like I said, I used to be a preacher, but by the time I got to that first picture, that F you face, I won't say it again, but, you know, four letter word, you know, I stopped preaching. I didn't believe in God. There was no God. Nothing existed but pain and sorrow. And of course, DoorDash. And where I was at that time, I had stopped drinking and I had stopped taking pills. I had gone through the big book well enough to remove those things. And it was a terrible experience going through the big book, eating all the way. However, God saw fit, high power saw fit to allow those, the alcohol and the pills, to be removed. The reason I got into taking pills was because I've always had suicidal ideation. Ever since I was a child, I felt different. I now know that that was because of my compulsive eating and some things were occurring, and I chose, I just got my first hug in a big bowl of cereal, like my first real hug. And I just said, ooh, I felt all right. I had got my behind whooped for something. And I went in there and got that, you know, that cereal or this and that. And each time it worked so well. But on March 25th, 2021, it had stopped working, y'all. And I was looking at one email. My sponsor at the time, I had got February, I had started working with a lady. And I was looking at her email, said, Nick, you need to ask any power to help you to put down the sugar. And then I looked over at the suicide hotline. And the reason that I was looking at the suicide hotline, not because I wanted no help, I was going to tell them you could come and get the body. You call my daddy, you know, let the family know, just come on and get the body because I can't live like this. I knew on that day, that was the end. That was the end. I just want to let you know that that was the end. March 25th, 2021, I've never had to kill myself like that. And just in case you ain't at the point where you want to take your own life in the food, let me know. Let me let you know in AA, we got a thing called YET. YET. You're eligible too. You go back and play with that thing if you want to. You're eligible too. One of my greatest, and I know some of you may know the name, the guy called Harlan G. He is one of my greatest yets. I never rolled a towel in between my layers of fat, but here's what I did do. 1 year on my birthday, in September, my auntie came up to me. She said, baby, that auntie on that picture, she said, baby, I bought you a shirt from the Goodwill. Could you please go in there and take a bath? I'm thinking to myself, because I also have been in Al-Anon as well, I'm thinking to myself, she needs to go to an Al-Anon meeting. Why is she going to tell, how is she going to tell me to go take a bath? I don't want to take a bath. Let me tell you something, what happened when I would get in the shower. I would pick my one leg up, and by the time I got the other leg in the tub, it felt like my heart was going to explode. And I don't know how I got to this, but one day I told myself, I said, I'll never do that again. 3 or 4 months later, my auntie was coming in my room. Please take a shower. The family want to see you. It's your birthday. I got in that shower that day and I wiped my arm. And there were layers and layers of dead skin was peeling off of my arm. And I said, my God, today and tomorrow. I said, my goodness. And you know, then it came up to be November. And my auntie, she said, Nick, please go in there. You know, it was Thanksgiving then. She said, please go in there and take a shower. Because here's how I ate. She would say, the family wants to see you. I didn't want to see the family. Huh? All I needed was my plate before everybody got the good food away. You know, all I wanted was my plate in my room and that little dent, that little crevice that I had made in the bed. I wasn't concerned about no family or anybody else. Food stole my soul. And my story is troubled I had to go to Al-Anon because all I felt that I was worthy of, how I associated levels with pain. And I did marry someone who was using alcoholic. Come to find out, and it's just my story, I was the sickest of us all. I was the sick, you know, between the two of us, I was the sickest, you know, because I thought that if I could get the degree and if I could get the husband and if I could get the kids, I have my RN license. Let me tell you something. Compulsive overeating don't give a shit about how many alphabets I got the end of my name. Compulsive overeating don't care what neighborhood that I live in. I used to drive me a real pretty Mercedes Benz. First thing I did when I got out of nursing school, got off food stamps, got out the hood, went and bought me a Riverside View. And let me tell you, slap dab in the middle of driving that Benz in that very beautiful town. God said, Nick, you can have a headache in a Benz just like you can in a Toyota. You can have a headache with a Riverside View just like you can in the hood, you know? So all this outside and material thinking and material doing never solved this inside spiritual malady. I needed a real solution. And my solution, it came through the big book, first through pills and alcohol, and it shut that down. So I knew that there was power in that book. I had been taking pills since I was 14 years old. I haven't had to take any medication since. I haven't desired jack. You know, I got all these relationships out of hand. Jack, y'all might know Debbie a little better. Y'all know Debbie Snacky or Jack and Susan, you know, all them people. I got these crazy relationships that I used to have. And the power in this book saved my life. Let me say one thing about this book, though. I don't know if you could, she was helping me with my life. But I've got different things highlighted and color-coded and written out to the side because somebody said, when you read this book, it'll put you to sleep. But when you study it, you'll wake up. And that's what happened to me. I joined a vision for you and I got to study this big book. I used to go around saying, I ain't going back through that big book because I had those experiences of where I felt when I was in the food and I wasn't drinking and taking those pills. It was a really, it was painful, but I had to do it because I had lost everything. I had lost everything. My job, my kids, my dog, my apartment, and my mind. I had lost it all. But this book, when I went through it, it gave me quite a bit back. But because I'm not just an Al-Anonic person, because I'm not just an alcoholic, because I am and have always been and will always be, no matter how much recovery, no matter how much I get recovered, I will always be a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today, though. You know, so I'm gonna just pause. How did I come into OA this time? In order to tell you how I got to OA this time, I got to tell you how I did it the first go round. I said, because of my Al-Anon, I said, ooh, that's real good for somebody else. And I called, you know, I went to the way, I said, ooh, they must got something like this for food. Maybe they got something like this for food. And the reason I went to Al-Anon was because I tried to take my husband to a facility. And she said, she grabbed my arm at the elevator. She said, baby, he may never join AA, but you need to go to Al-Anon. I had failed out of school about two or three times. I went to Al-Anon. I began saying the serenity prayer. It taught me that the meetings work. It taught me that safety and meditation work. I graduated nursing school after failing two to three times. I graduated head of my class just because I learned how to say no, and no is a full sentence, period. And then, so I looked up Alan OA because I said, oh, if that works that good, I've got to see if it's something out there like that for food. And I really took the softer, easier way when I called somebody on the website, and this was when we was having face-to-face meetings, and I said, how far is it? And all of this, I was asking all these exclusionary questions, you know, just waiting for the, oh, I ain't gonna be able to make it, baby. And that's what I did. She come back 30 minutes away. Oh, no, ma'am, not tonight. I'm not gonna be able to make it. Let me tell you what I did. I went in the house and ate a whole box of cereal. I said, you know what? Where did they say that meeting was again? I got my ass to a meeting, y'all. But let me tell you something. I burnt up so much gas. I went to Cordova, to Collierville, to Germantown. I'm going to all these different locations of the meeting. And guess what? I did not make an outreach call. If when I did, I really was hoping they wouldn't pick up and the phone felt heavier than I did. I didn't want no help just yet. You know, and then when I would go to the meetings, I would size people up and shut them down and say, she, you know, I just was just so judgy. Oh, my God. And then I did a sponsor and I decided, well, she's not good enough or she's too good. And I had all these exclusionary criteria still going on. And so that's when we was doing face to face. And then I went to a retreat and they said, if you really need a sponsor, you can reach out to your region. That must be the only reason that I went to that retreat, because I was at that retreat and I would go to the rooms. This in 2015. I went to the retreat, and when I got tired of a meeting or two, I would go to my room and I would eat and go to sleep. Sure did. I had a good time at that dance, though. I danced and danced. I had a good time. But I did meet a lady there. She got me to about 2 weeks abstinence, y'all. And she told me, because around that same time, my husband and I were beginning to break up in Al-Anon, I was praying, God, please remove this. Please do for me what I could not do. You better be careful what you pray for. Please remove and do for me what I cannot do for myself. And I don't know, I went to a particularly interesting Al-Anon meeting. Uh-oh, did I lose y'all? Oh, there you go.
No,
You're
we're still
good.
here. Yeah, we can hear you.
Y'all can hear me.
Keep
Oh, okay.
going. We
Oh,
got to
okay.
find out what
I went to
happened.
that, yeah, particularly good, thank you, Al-Anon meeting. And the next morning I woke up and I squared my shoulders and I said, sir, I will not be leaving you my keys to drop me off at work. I said, and I will not be leaving you no money for you to be here while I'm at work. I took my keys and I went on to my job, and that was that. And I got back and he put all his shit in trash bags and he left. Well, best thing I knew to do at that time was to go to the liquor store. I said, y'all, I don't know what y'all selling in here, but you put whatever you want to on the counter and I'm gonna buy it. I don't know how much stuff they put on that counter, but I drunk it all. And guess what? For me, alcohol, it ain't nothing but liquid sugar. And some of that Adderall and that Vyvanse and all them pills I was on was nothing but sugar in a capsule. it had me so high wired, and I would drop off just like the eating, and then you numb out. So that particular OA sponsor that I had, I began missing my appointments with her after 2 weeks. She said, you know what, Nick? She said, you can, you, I'm gonna let, it's called being fired. She fired me. She said, you know what? I can't work with you, baby, because what you don't know is I'm a recovered alcoholic, and you calling me with slurred speech, and you calling me and you missing appointments. She said, you need to take your to AA and work the steps. Y'all, I promise y'all, I was good at picking the easier, softer way. I said, oh, I'm gonna go to one of those treatment facilities, one of those fancy places. And I did. And every time when they started manipulating my food, I would get kicked out. I was a fighter. I would put my fists in folks' face and on their back, and I would get carried and kicked out. And it was just total insanity. And I ended up in my auntie house. And from my auntie's house, I began to walk to AA meetings. I didn't have no car. I began to catch the bus to AA meetings in the rain and the sleet and the hail and the snow. I would get my behind to an AA meeting. And before I knew it, I was working them steps. I hadn't taken a pill and I hadn't taken a drink. And I was working those steps. What that did for me was to help me to really widen my stomach out. I went from a 1X, 2X, 3X, 3X, 2X, 1X to a 1X, 2X, 3X, 4X, 5X. And I promise you, on March 25th, 2021, that 5X was screaming, please, you got to put on a 6X. Oh, no. That just was not gonna do. And it wasn't so much about my outside grave as it was about the inside grave, because what I found out in coming into these rooms and being the size that I am now, a grave don't matter what size you are, it's gonna fit you for that situation. Your grave may just be 10 pounds. I heard one fella say he was a skeletal weight. His grave was skeletal weight. My grave just so happened to be 200, 300, 400, almost 500 pounds. And so when that lady told me that, and I began to work those steps in AA, and I knew God had did for me what I could not do for myself, I was still eating, but it began to see the pain. The food was no longer covering up the pain. It was beginning to not work anymore. And I thought to myself, one day I said, I'm gonna have to work the steps for real. I ain't gonna be able to sponsor myself this time. I ain't gonna be able to just read it by myself this time. I ain't gonna be able to just go to meetings, keep my camera off, and well, not keep my camera off. I ain't gonna be able to just drive to the meeting and burn up all my gas and not really be willing to do this program. Little did I know, in the middle of COVID, we wasn't going to meetings anyway. So I reached out to the region and it said, you can ask for help. I reached out, asked for a sponsor. Of course, I tried to take the easier, softer way first. I called somebody that I knew would take me back. I knew that one lady that fired me, she was done with me. but I asked somebody else, and they said, "No, I'm not sponsoring because of COVID." I said, "Oh, okay." Then I looked on the website, and they had got me a lady. Let me tell y'all something. This recovery, just like the disease don't care, this recovery does not care. If my heart is ready and my heart is white and I've right and I've had a sufficient enough ass whooping, that's just how we talk about it in AA, a sufficient enough ass whooping. What that means is I've conceded to not my top layer, not my second layer, but to my innermost self that I'm done and I'm done and I'm done. Then it don't matter what color, it don't matter what city, it don't matter what stratosphere, what hemisphere, I will be helped when I reach out my hand. It's somebody in this program that's going to put their hands in mine. And if you heard me at the beginning of my story, me and my judge herself, I knew my pickle was broke. I knew I couldn't even pick a sponsor. And God put me with an 83-year-old lady in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And she said, "We'll see how I go." Y'all, I wasn't trying to lose no weight. I'm going to just be honest with you. And talking about these principles, now I got a sponsee that is helping save my life. I wasn't trying to help nobody. I wasn't trying to sponsor nobody. No, no, no. I just wanted to quit killing myself like that. Just in case if there's anybody in the room that secretly know that they killing themselves. It start out between just me and the food. But it can change from me and the food to me and another person. Because I didn't want to let God in yet. And it was me and another person. And now I have to give up. Oh, thank you. And now after joining a vision for you, I know that it's me, another person, and I get to go back to God and I get to say, thank you for keeping me the whole time. And I'm going to really be honest with you. I'm on a real slow back crawl back to calling God, God. My first sponsor actually was my higher power. I'm going to just be real honest and authentic with you. I couldn't even get a hold of any religiosity, of any concept of saying God. They say good order of direction. I didn't like that. They said, this one I resonated with, gift of desperation, because I knew for a fact that I could not feed myself. I knew for a fact that I could not make a call without some help other than myself. So one step at a time, one meal at a time, one principle at a time, I get to have integrity. And you can look on those pictures and you know I've been eating, all right. You can look at where I started from. You don't even have to really hear my voice, but I could just show you a picture because if one of my friends said, that's a physical display of a miracle. And just in case, if there's anybody that's in here in a dead situation, I serve a high power. I've got a God that lets me know that he's in the business or she's in the business of resurrecting dead situations. And sometimes even now that I still sometimes have my hand up to religiosity, it's only one thing that I can relate my entire experience to. And that's a resurrection, a burial, and a grave. Like I really got up and I have not had the desire to kill myself since March 25th, 2021. No matter how small this dress get, no matter how good my abstinent meals are, no matter how much I love my kids, the best thing that's ever happened to me is I get to learn how to live this thing one day at a time. And so I'm so grateful for this experience, y'all. Words cannot express it. Like, this is power. And it started for me in the book, and it's ended for me in the book. And I'm going to just keep growing toward God. So with that, I pass. Thank you, family.